Bem. Pois é, just to remind everybody, Dudi Itzkevich making an offer of this shul tomorrow, Mi Hashem. Everybody should come and miss your Mazel Tov. So Skimmy Morgan, Avadia, should come here tomorrow and wish Dudi Mazel Tov, Machlofrif tomorrow, here in this shul. He deserves our Chorus HaToiv. We're making him a Shema presentation, Balachasna.
He just heard you say that.
Who heard that?
Dudi. Who's that?
Dudi. We've
recorded. Is he here? No, we recorded.
Oh, okay. Come on. He's not going to listen.
Take it back. I didn't mean it.
Says the Chofetz Chaim. Yeah, our limud every day is l'schus refuah shleima for Yosef Dov ben Chayla. He should have a refuah shleima b'korov, and he should make the simcha tomorrow and next Tuesday b'shol tovim mislachas. He should have lots of nachas from the young couple. And the Chofetz Chaim continues as follows. The Chofetz Chaim says that when yesterday we spoke about how people are very, very curious to know what other people think of them, what other people have said about them, and we had the story of the person who was making choizik of the Baal Tefillah, and he's employed by him, and he's not allowed to react any differently towards him because he only knows it by listening to Rechilas, and therefore he's not allowed. So there's no protection involved here. He's not like being choishish that this person's doing him any harm. So therefore, says the Chofetz Chaim, there's one other thing, another point. He says Vada Oid. Yeah, the Chofetz Chaim comes up with another point which makes sense, and if you stop and think about it, it's very obvious. He says that when you hear the story, when somebody tells you a story of somebody who was planning to do something bad to you, or somebody who did something bad to you, or somebody who said something bad about you, whatever it is, he says, if there's any chance of being don l'chavstus, then you've got a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa of betzedek tishpoit amisecho. And therefore, if it's possible that you hear some news about what somebody was thinking of doing to you, or did to you, or said about you, or was going to say about you, whatever it is, and it's possible to interpret it two ways. You can either be don l'chav schus, or you can be don l'chav choivo. He says, then you have a mitzvah d'oraisa, not just a hanhoga toivo. So you have mitzvah d'oraisa, you mekayim mitzvah toira, harini, muchan, and mezuman, l'kayim mitzvah say, shel, betzedek, tishboit, amisecho. Yeah, and that's even if there's a remote possibility. We've had many examples during the years when we've discussed these cases, and everybody knows of situations where the most unlikely result, or the most unlikely interpretation of what happened, is sometimes the truth. Sometimes it's absolutely true. We remember the story with the sandcastle and other stories like that. There are many, many cases where when it's not so easy to be b'tzedek tishboit amisecho, but af al pi ken, you have to exhaust every possibility. You have to try every possibility. They tell the story, the famous story, we've mentioned it before, of Levi Yitzchak of Beditchev, this guy who turned up who was a mummer. He'd gone off the derech, he brought up in a frum house, and he got off the derech, and on Yom Kippur in the afternoon, he sat on the bench outside the shul eating a Big Mac from McDonald's. Bedich of McDonald's. Yeah, as he was eating there, and the kids came out from shul, and everybody was watching him. Kids went back, they told the parents came out, they shouted at him, he laughed them off, he couldn't care less. He wanted to make a point. He was a mumma lahachis, he wanted to make his point. So, on Motzi Yom Kippur, a few heavies from the Kehillah, right, grabbed this person, and they slept him in front of Reb Levi Yitzchak Beditchev, and they told Reb Levi Yitzchak what he did, and they said that Reb Levi Yitzchak should cast some sort of a spell over him. He should punish him. So Reb Levi Yitzchak started asking questions. He said, maybe the doctor told you that you have to eat a Big Mac in the afternoon on Yom Kippur. They said, no, and maybe you didn't realize today was Yom Kippur. Rebbe, I knew it was Yom Kippur. And he went through all so many possibilities that the Hasidim were laughing. You know, the remotest possibilities that maybe the doctor told you that on this day you have to eat a Big Mac in the afternoon on the bench outside the shul, etc., 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 and you were doing it because of Pekuach Nefesh, or you made a mistake, etc. And on every single thing he said, Rebbe, he said, on every single thing he said, Rebbe, he said, I knew it was Yom Kippur, I did it lahachis, I'm a mummer, I know what a mummer is. He went through the whole thing and he said to the Rebbe, everything, Once the Rebbe had exhausted all the possibilities, then he was already mekabel the story. Then, because he couldn't be Don Lachav Schus, there was no way, even the remotest possibility, then the story concludes that he held his hand up to heaven. And he said, Rabbi Yisrael, look at this yid. The Mumalahachis, right? He's eating on Yom Kippur in front of the shul, in front of the kids, deliberately, yeah, but he won't tell a lie. Right? So he tells the truth, right? Whatever I asked him, he admitted the truth. He admits the truth. He says, "Mi kamcha Yisrael." I'll call upon him. Says the Chofetz Chaim, "If you hear something that affects you, and there's a possibility of interpreting it for the good, then you have a chiyuv deraisa of besedek tishboi tamizlecho to interpret it positively."
Start with Ella Turaway, Northwest London, Friday. Hey, Cheshvan, 6th of December. Reina Rav Rav Akiva Rosenblatt Shlita Parsha theme. This week's Torah is sponsored by the Chosra Fuah Shleim Lechol Chavlei Yisrael. The Chosra Shvuim Vachavlim Vamil Chomosh Yachsu Levotem Lesholem Bim Heiro.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for having me back. Thank you very much. So I was asked what the title is for this morning. The truth is there is no one title. I'm just going through different ideas which we can bring out of this week's parasha. As we know, the parasha begins with Yaakov's dream, the famous dream of the ladder. It's not just a dream, it's Yaakov's first nevuah. It's the first time Yaakov's had a nevuah in 77 years, I think it might be. And this nevuah, as we see from the Mefarshim, isn't just a personal nevuah for Yaakov. It's a nevuah that he seems to have for all of Klal Yisrael. But before we get into Yaakov's dream, there's a beautiful idea which Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch brings out from the word that's used over here. So the word that's used when it says that Yaakov finds the place that he finds, the Pasuk says, Vayifka v'amokam v'yetzi Yaakov Be'er Sheva. Yaakov leaves Be'er Sheva. V'yelech Haran to go to Haran. And the parasha continues, Vayifka v'amokam. And the word Vayifka is an interesting word, and it's translated as and he meets the place, and he encounters the place that he encounters. V'yolem shom kibbo ha-shemesh. And already Rashi explains that the word vayifka, as Chazal tell us, as the Gemara says, is the lashon of tefillah, because this word vayifka is interesting. It doesn't just mean that he found the place. It doesn't just mean that he happened to pass through. The place had an impact on him. There was something, it moved him. There was something that happened to him as a result of this place that he went to. And he's experiencing Hashem. He's experiencing the Shechinah. He has nevuah. Now, interestingly, if you look right at the end of the parasha as well, that very same word comes up again when Yaakov leaves Choron. When Yaakov leaves Lavan, when Yaakov parts ways with Lavan, the pasuk says, "Vayakov halach the vayashkim Lavan baboyker, and Lavan wakes up in the morning, vayinashig Lavanah velivnoisav, and Lavan kisses his sons and his daughters, and he blesses them." Vayakov halach ladarakoi, and Yaakov goes on his way. Vayifku uboy malachei elokim, and the malachei elokim, same word again. Vayifku uboy the malachei elokim. And Shimon Shavash explains, and he says that when Yaakov is setting out on his journey, he is impacted by the ruchnius that he sees. He is impacted by the shechina that he encounters, by the nevuah that he has. It's a powerful experience for him. It impacts him tremendously. And as Yaakov builds his family, and he becomes the Yaakov Avinu that we know, and he has the Shvatim, and he's raised an incredible family, the Malachim are moved by him. The Malachim, Vayifkubu boy, Malachi Elikim, the Malachim are moved by what they see in Yaakov Avinu. This time, the Malachim are struck by him. First time, he's struck by the Malachim, and right at the end of the parasha, the Malachim are struck by him, because the Malachim, Kavayochel, can't understand how somebody like Yaakov Avinu can have such ruchnius and raise such an incredible family, which is Dovik to Hashem, in this world, in Eilam Hazeh, in a world of Gashmias. So he explains that the journey that Yaakov had over here was first being struck himself, and then building himself up so much so that the Malachim themselves are struck by him. Such is the potential for a human being in this world that we have the power to even startle Malachim. The Malachim themselves are impacted by the incredible potential that we can reach as mere mortals, as human beings in this world. But the story continues, and the famous dream that Yaakov has, as we all know, is of the ladder. And as the Pasuk says, Vayachalom, and he has a dream, V'hinei sulam mutzav arza, the ladder is resting on the ground, V'roshe magia ha-shamayma, V'hinei malachei Elohim ha'ilim yoredim bo. And the malachim of Hashem are going up and down. So there's different explanations as to what these malachim, what did Yaakov see? What did Yaakov see in these malachim? What were these malachim that Yaakov saw? And I came across a fascinating medrash, two medrashim really, which explain the following about what Yaakov saw. There's a lot, the Mefarshim go to town with what happens in Yaakov's dream and what these malachim were. But it's fascinating what this particular medrash explains, and that is Rav Nachman Pasach. Rav Nachman says, "Va'ata al tira avdi Yaakov." He quotes a pasuk from Yeshaya, where the pasuk in Yeshaya says, "Al tira avdi Yaakov." Don't be afraid, avdi Yaakov. Where do we find that Yaakov was afraid? What's the pasuk referring to? And the medrash continues and says, "Medaber b'Yaakov." Of course, it's talking about Yaakov. But when was Yaakov afraid? Yaakov became afraid when he sees the sulam mutzav arta. The pasuk doesn't tell us explicitly that Yaakov was afraid, but the medrash is giving us some insight into the fact that this is where Yaakov was afraid. And what was he afraid of? Amar Reb Shmuel bar Nachman. I'm competing against the background noise over here, so I'll try and speak as loud as I can. Amar Reb Shmuel bar Nachman. Elu sorei umos ha'olam. These are the sorei umos ha'olam. That what do you see? The Melamed Shehera Kadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov Avinu Sorei Shel Bovel Oyle Shivim Avokim. Hashem shows Yaakov Avinu the Sar of Bovel that goes up 70 rungs of the ladder. And 70 Mistom is referring to the 70 years of Golus Bovel. Vishal Modai Nun Beis, and he sees Modai, the Sar of Modai, goes up 52 rungs of the ladder. Vishal Yovon Kufpei, and the Sar Shal Yovon of Greece goes up 180 rungs of the ladder. Vishal Edom Oila, but the Sar of Edom is going up and is going up and is going up and up and up and up. Veloy Yodea Kama, and as far as Yaakov can see, the Sar of Edom is not stopping. The Golos of Edom seems to be going on forever and ever and ever. And at that point, Bo'isa Shah Nesiore Yaakov, at that point, Yaakov Avinu becomes afraid and scared, and he turns to Hashem and he says, "Omar," he says, "Efsha she'ein lo zeh yirida." Is it possible that this golus will never end? Is this golus never going to? Is the Tsar of Edom never going to fall off this ladder? Unlike all the other, all the other malachim. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, at this stage, Hashem says to Yaakov, "Va'ato al tira avdi Yaakov." Don't be afraid, Yaakov. Even when he is, is there any way of this? It's upstairs. Okay, fine. Afilu ha'oyle v'yoshev etzli. Even if Edom is able to be yoshev etzli, Hashem says, even if Edom is able to go up and up and up and up and stand and even sit next to me, misham ani ma'irido, don't worry. I will make sure that Edom doesn't succeed. I'll make sure that Edom doesn't last forever. End of Medrash. The Medrash brings a pasuk over here. And the Maharal explains, Rav Dessler explains, through the Maharal, that what Hashem is telling Yaakov Avinu is that with every of the other Golios, the Golos of Yovan, the Golos of Modai, the Golos of Bovel, there seemed to be a natural end to the Golos. Apiderach Ateva, they ended. You know, nations rise and they fall. There's powers that rise and powers that fall. But when it comes to Edom, there is no natural end to the Golos of Edom. And Hashem has to turn to Yaakov Avinu and say, Ani Moiridoi. I'm going to be the one that's Moirid Edom. Because the way that Edom is defeated is not in the way that any other the other goddess are defeated. The way that Edom is defeated is through Ruchnius, through Hashem himself. Hashem says the fight against Edom is the fight of Ani Moirido. It's the fight of Ruchnius, of being the battle, of being able to look at the world and being the battle of the Gashmis, seeing past Edom and seeing past what the illusion of Edom is that it creates. And that's how the Golus of Edom ends. Yaakov Avinu couldn't see. As far as Teva was concerned, Edom would continue forever. Those rungs of the ladder seem to be infinitely high. But Hashem says, don't worry. This is where Nes comes in. This is where I come in. This is where Ruchnius comes in. The end of Edom will be the fight, so to speak, between Ruchnius and Gashmis. And indeed, we see that we're still living in Golus Edom. We're still in the same Golus that Yaakov Avinu was concerned about, worried about, Altira Abdi Yaakov. And there is no natural way of seeing how this Golus ends. But as Hashem promises Yaakov in the dream, don't worry, Ani Moirido. I will make sure that it happens. I'll make sure that through Nes, I'll make sure that through something Ruchni, that this Golus won't last forever, and this Golus won't be something which we can't defeat. That's number one. Lesson number one from the Medrash. But number two, another idea the Medrash shares, which again the Maharal explains, but let me just say the Medrash first, is Yaakov is scared about something else as well. Yaakov starts to become scared not about the Golus, but about himself. And Yaakov says, Omer Rebrecha v'Reb Chelboi v'Reb Shurim v'Yachai b'Shem Reb Meir Melamed Sheherok Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Sarah Shel Bovel Olu V'Yoyrit. It's very similar, but a different idea. He sees the Sar of Bovel going up and coming down. He sees the Sar of Modai going up and coming down. Olim V'Yoridim Boi. Malachim are going up and coming down. And he sees that every single empire, every single nation that rises up and becomes powerful and becomes affluent and is successful, the successes don't last. But Oila, they have their moments of glory, but then Yorid, they come crashing down. And he's worried. Yaakov Avinu is worried and he thinks to himself, if this is what happens to everybody else, if this is what happens to all the other nations, all the other malachim, Shema chas v'shalem k'shem shela'elu yurida af li kein. In the same way that they all rise and fall, then who's to say the same thing is going to happen to me? If that's what happens to everybody else, if that's what's happening to all the other malachim, the malachim who represent the other nations, then maybe I'm going to be Oleva Yorid. Maybe I'm going to rise and fall. How am I going to know that I'm going to stay up on the ladder? What's going to stop me from falling off that ladder? Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem turns to Yaakov and he says, Va'ata al tira. He says, don't be afraid. Im ata oile, if you go up, ein lecho yirida ilomis, then you won't fall. I promise you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Yaakov Avinu a haftocha and he says, if you go up on the ladder, if you rise up, if you have an aliyah, then you won't have a Yerida Olamis. But this is the fascinating part of the Medrash, which I still don't fully understand, but I think we can scratch the surface of what the Medrash is saying. The Medrash continues quite shockingly and says, Loi Hemin v'loi Ola. Talking about Yaakov Avinu over here. Loi Hemin, he didn't trust, quoting word for word the Medrash, he didn't trust what Hashem told him, that he's not going to fall off the ladder. V'loi Ola, and he doesn't go up the ladder. And the Medrash continues and he says, Omalai Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem turns to Yaakov and he says, Ilu hem mantav yolisa, if you would have trusted me and gone up the ladder, oid lo yaradata, you would never have fallen down. V'achshav shalei hem mantav lo yolisa, now that you haven't trusted and you haven't gone up, asidim bonecha shi mishtabdin ba'ar b'malchius b'olam hazeh, now your children are going to have to go through the Arba Malchius of Golus, with Masim, Baranonis, with taxes. We all know the Golus of tax and Aranonis, and end of Medrash. So what is going on over here? Hashem says to Yaakov, if you go up the ladder, you're not going to fall off. And Yaakov turns back to, the Medrash says, that Yaakov, he didn't believe and he didn't go up. And the Maharal explains what's going on over here. I don't fully understand the Maral, it's quite deep, the concepts he's sharing, but Rav Dessler somewhat brings it down to earth. But I just wanted to share one idea which I think he's saying over here, and that is when Yaakov Avinu, when it says Loi Hemin V'Loi Ola, I think what they're saying is that when Yaakov doesn't trust, doesn't mean he doesn't trust Hashem. Of course Yaakov Avinu has Emunah and Bitochen in Hashem. There's no way that Yaakov Avinu wouldn't have trusted what Hashem is telling him. But there's another Emunah over here which could be referring to. Loi Hemin is talking about himself. Loi Hemin, he didn't believe that it was something that he was capable of doing, that he was capable of achieving, that was within his potential to be able to rise up that ladder in a way that he wouldn't fall off. And the message which we can learn from here is what Hashem was really telling Yaakov is you've got to believe in yourself. In order to be successful, in order to succeed, in order to rise up that ladder of Ruchnius, we need to see that it's within our reach. We need to see that it's something that we can achieve, that we can do, that we have the potential to fight against. And if we don't have that belief in ourselves, we don't believe that we ourselves are capable of doing that, then we're going to struggle. Then we're not going to be able to go and rise up that ladder. It's a powerful message. It's what Hashem is telling Yaakov, and what Hashem is really telling us is that it's possible. You have what it takes. You have the potential. You have the ability to go up that ladder if you only believe it yourself. If you only see it for yourself, if you only believe that you are able, you are capable, then you'll be successful. Then you'll manage. Then you will go up that ladder. You need to be believing in yourself as well. As we say famously in Moida Ani Lefonecha Malachai V'Kayom, that Hashem has emunah in us. Hashem has emunah in us. And we also have to have emunah in ourselves and believe that we are capable, that we can achieve, that we can rise up that ladder. And that is the message that that Yaakov was being told by Hashem. On his madrega, Yaakov didn't succeed in the way that Hashem wanted him to. But the message for us is that if we believe in ourselves, then we can do what it takes. Yeah.
And you told him that you will succeed.
Yeah, told him you will succeed. I know. That's what I'm saying. It's still something, as I said at the beginning, it's still a medrash which is hard to fully understand. But I think, as I said, to scratch the surface, it's loy hemin v'loy ola. It's the lack of emunah which is why he wasn't able to go up the ladder, or the belief that he was able to do it. Wanted to continue to talk a bit about his encounter with Lavan and the story that he has over there. When Yaakov meets Lavan, we already introduced to a rami, already introduced to a swindler. And just this isn't what I was going to talk about, but just it's interesting. I was thinking when I was going through Chumash Rashi just before. Rashi goes through, when Yaakov meets Lavan, it seems, or when Lavan meets Yaakov, it seems quite innocent. It doesn't seem like Lavan is a terrible guy yet. I mean, we see, as the story unfolds, that Lavan is a Rama. But when he first meets Yaakov, at surface level, it doesn't seem like Lavan has any sly plans in place. In fact, he hugs him and he kisses him. And here we are in where is it? Here we go. In Perek Chof Tes, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayikishmaya Lavan Hashem, Yaakov and Achosa. You heard about Yaakov coming, but he arrives to cross and he runs to meet him. Vayichabet loy, Vayinashik loy, Vavyeu Beisoy, Vayisaper Lavan is called Vermeela. It seems like quite an innocent encounter. It seems like Lavan is hugging him and he's kissing him and he brings him back to his house. Yet when you look at Rashi, who's quoting the Medrash, Rashi says, "Vayechabek vayoris likrosi." Why did Lavan run towards him? Because he thought he had money. Vayechabek loy kishaloi roi my klum am Hashem azuhuv mehevi v'hina mecheka. He thinks maybe there's gold and they're in his pocket. Vayinashik loy, and he kisses him and he says, "Shema maragoliyos hevi v'hina mepip." maybe there's he kisses him. Maybe there's diamonds in his and he's hiding them in his mouth. So that's why he kisses him. Where's the remez in this pasuk? Where's the remez in the parasha? But this is what Lavan's cunning plan is. Yes, we see later that he's a cunning man, but how do we know that that's what his motive is right from the beginning? And the Chofetz Chaim explains that there is a remez in the parasha, and that is right at the end of the parasha again, when Yaakov is leaving Lavan, again, right at the end, last few psukim of the parasha. By Yashkem Lavan Baboika, they part ways, and they have this bris which they make earlier. And it says, by Yanashik Lavanov Livnoisov, and he kisses his sons and his daughters, by Yibarech Eshem, by Yelech, by Yoshev Lavan Min Komen. There's somebody over there who Lavan doesn't kiss. Somebody there who Lavan doesn't hug and kiss, and that's Yaakov Avinu himself. So the Chofetz Chaim explains that this is the remez to what Rashi was saying earlier, when Rashi says that when he hugs and he kisses Yaakov Avinu, he must have had sinister and cunning plans over here, because when Yaakov is going away from him, when Yaakov is leaving him, the love is not there. There is no genuine chibuk and nishuk, there's no genuine love going on. He doesn't take the time to express his feelings towards Yaakov. Why? Because now money's not involved. Now there's no thinking about money whatsoever. So therefore, he hugs and kisses his children and his because, you know, he has natural feelings towards them. But Yaakov Avinu is not relevant to him anymore. But so obviously, when he hugs and kisses Yaakov Avinu earlier, when he sees him for the first time, that's clearly he had some ulterior motives. Clearly, he had something else in mind, and that's the remez to what Rashi is saying. The Medrash is telling us is that that's where he knows that he just wanted to find. He wanted to find money, but that was just by the by. So Yaakov is in Lavan's house, and there's this whole story with Rachel and with Leah. And I wanted to just pick up on another medrash over here. So there's a medrash Tanchum, if I can find it. If not, I'll just say it from memory. And the medrash. The Medrash praises Rachel over here tremendously, and it quotes, if I can find it. It's definitely, the Medrash says over here. So it's I saw it elsewhere. The Medrash Tanchum also says it, but it quotes the Mishnah from Pirkei Avos. Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, here it is. It's in the Medrash Tanchum. It says the following: Om Rav Shimon Gamliel, Kol Yomai Gadalti Ben Chachamim, Avlei Motzasi LaGuf Toiv El Hashtika. Famous Mishnah. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, all my life I was raised amongst Talmidei Chachamim, Avlei Motzasi LaGuf Toiv El Hashtika. And I never found anything better for the guf, anything more powerful, elashtika, than silence. And it gives a few examples of where we see silence. Rachel, tafsa bashtika, omda zara bashtika. Rachel was tofes in the middle of shtika, omdu zara bashtika. Not sure quite what that means, but she saw the signs. She gave the signs to her sister Vashoskan. She was quiet. She didn't say anything. She saw that Lavan was trying to trick her father, trying to trick her, to trick Yaakov. Binyamin Belar, or Eben Shalom and Ephod Yoshver. Quite interesting about Binyamin. Oh, that's what it means. It means that she was Tefes in Shtika, and her children learned that midah from her. Binyamin, her son, his the stone on the Choshen. Was Yoshver. This is the makor for this. Nowhere else does it say this. Yodeh b'mechiras Yosef. He knew about the mechiras Yosef v'shoisik, and he was quiet. V'zeo Yoshver yeshlei peh v'shoisik. He has a mouth, and he was quiet. the Medrash over here is sharing with us the power of Shtika, normally with Rachel. What we find is that we are praising her for the incredible kind of way that she held back from getting in the way of what Laban was trying to do to Leah, or to Yaakov, because she cared about her sister Leah. But here the Medrash is focusing on not so much what she did, but what she didn't do, on the shtika, on the fact that she was silent and she held back and she didn't say what she really wanted to say, the power of that, the reward that she gets for that, the reward that gets passed on to her children. Sometimes in life, the challenge is about holding back. The challenge is about not saying what we want to say. It's about staying silent in the face of machlokes. It's about staying silent when we really want to speak up. It's about being shoysek, as Rav Shimon Gamliel says. And the reward that she gets is tremendous. The reward that Rachel gets for her shtika, for her staying quiet, for not speaking up when she really wanted to speak up. It's a powerful message that we see in the parasha. And it's a powerful message for us as well, that sometimes we think we're losing out, sacrificing something. We're missing out from not getting involved, from not speaking up for ourselves, for not standing up for ourselves, for not saying something when we want to say it. And yet Rachel had that challenge, and she rose up to that challenge, and as a result, she didn't lose out. She got tremendous reward. She got tremendous. She got tremendously rewarded from Hashem for that shtika that she had. But more than that as well, where did that shtika come from? Why was she shoysek? Why did she hold back? Yes, she knew that was something she wanted to do, but what was propelling her to do that? There's a powerful medrash at the beginning of Eicha. I don't have the medrash in front of me, but the medrash says that when it comes to being matzil, when it comes to Klal Yisrael in Golus, each of the avos comes and asks Hashem for rachmanus for Klal Yisrael. Avram Avinu comes, Yitzchak Avinu comes, Yaakov Avinu comes, and so on and so forth. And then Rachel comes. Hashem doesn't listen to any of them, but Hashem listens to Rachel. Meni koylech mi bechi, veinayech mi dima, yesh sachar lefulaseich. Rachel is the one that Hashem listens to. Rachel is the one that through her tefillos, Klal Yisrael are going to be saved. Why? Why was it Rachel? So Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg explains that what's going on over here is that each of the Ovos are asking Hashem to give Rachmanus. They're asking for a midah of Rachmanus from Hashem. But Rachel was the one who herself was Merachim. She herself had incredible Rachmanus on her sister Leah. She displayed an incredible Rachmanus. And he says that when we're looking from Rachmanus from Hashem, if we're looking for Hashem to be Merachim on us, the way it works is that we have to find that Rachmanus within ourselves first. That if we find that Midah within ourselves, if we have that Midah of Rachmanus, if we display that Midah of Rachmanus to others, if we are what we want Hashem to give to us, then it will happen. Then Hashem listens to Rachel, because Rachel was the one that had the Midah of Rachmanus. Rachel was the one that displayed her Rachmanus. And over and above the Avos who are asking for Klal Yisrael's behalf, because she had that midah. Of course they had that midah as well. But she in particular had that midah of Rachmanus, and that's what Hashem was responding to. He was responding to her Rachmanus with his Rachmanus. It's not just stammer tefillah. It's that when we change, that when we express that midah ourselves, then Hashem reflects that back on us. Then Hashem gives that back to us. If we're looking for Rachmanus from Hashem, if we're looking for Hashem to be merachim on us, then we need to be merachim ourselves. Then we need to find that rachmanus ourselves. Then we need to be that which we're looking for from Hashem. And that's what Hashem responds to. And that's why it's Rachel with her incredible rachmanus, which was what propelled her, which is what allowed her to be shaysik, which allowed her to stay quiet in the face of injustice, complete injustice from her father. Then that rachmanus is what Hashem responds to with his own rachmanus as well. I was going to end with one last idea, but I see where time is basically up. So I'll wish you all a good Shabbos. Thank you for listening. I'm glad we got some silence at the end over here as well. And Mitzvah, we should all have
the.
Exactly.
Thank you very, very much. Mitzvah Shtike was to us discussion gewesen zum Sof. And there is, following on from the Kiddur, which the Chushev Valdashen spoke about the middle of Rachmunas, but there is a very heart-rending dialogue which happens into the Parsha when Ruchli Maini sees that she was not blessed with children in contrast to her sister Leo. And Vatayre Ruchel ki lo yoldu li Yankov, Ruchel saw that she had not given birth or given children to Yankov. But Kanei Ruchel b'choysa, there was a bit of envy there. And then Rashi explains immediately there's no way that we could conceptualize that Ruchel should have a mid of kino. It means b'maseo ha-toivim, that surely she must have been the greater tzedakis. And she says to Yankov, who will ibunim? Give me children. And if not, we learn from here that somebody who is childless is considered as if they are not alive. And then he, so to speak, gets angry with Ruchel and he says, but that's not the end of the conversation, because Rashi follows up on that, brings down the Gemur that Ashemuna Mimech Pributen goes even worse. He says to you, that she said to him, Daven, your father davened for your mother, she should have children. So therefore you can see that those prayers were efficacious and they worked. And if that's the case, then why don't you do the same for me? And he says to me, my father had a problem. He was an ukkah. He couldn't have children. He was barren. You, my mother was also barren. Both of them davened. So according to some Foshim, I think Cheskini, that two are better than one. Here, I have no problem. I have children. Leo has Boshem children. I have Bilo. I have Zilpo. They're all going to have children. You have no children. That's your problem. Whoa.
Strange.
Very remarkable comment. Stunning. Aina mikro ze oimo elo dorshin. How the Yankov Abachir Ubers, he just spoke about the middle of Rachmunas, tally up with this dialogue. But let's go in and understand that the concept of tefillah, so to speak, differs in different ways. We say by Davan, Ki Atu Shemaya Tefillah has called Pe Amchu Yisrael Berachamim. A person dams to the Rebbein Shlom. There are different levels of Tefillah. Sometimes a person dams, Hashem Nesu, how we say, we get a Davan Ope. Before you say, and a kind of sir, you could have gone through five borders and you get Shulam Aleichem, we've been in Paris, we've been in LA, and Bor Hashem came to us to Shulam Aleichem. It was a good trip. Sometimes a person is misamis betfila and he tries, he concentrates, puts everything into it. And sometimes you have the great days, the Yumim Neruam, where a person davens and he literally supplicates with all his heart and every single fiber of his body to his Creator. And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam listens to all of them. Whether the fellow is standing there with torn, tattered jeans with a long ponytail at the back by the koisel and he opens up a tillim and he tries to say a few words and the Rebbein Shalom is listening, or whether the Bespalal guide mit a Rajavulke, mit lange Strokes, and Vase Shir, Vase Halbe Shir, and he's also listening to him. Because Atu Shemaya Tvila's Kol Peh, whatever the level of Tvila is, the Rebbein Shalom is listening. Rabbi Yankel von Antwerpen, I think maybe Rabbi Itzik used to say, even if the person who is supplicating and davening to the Rebbein Shalom is aber chinef in fe, a disgusting individual, a balavaire. Rebbein Shalom says, you're davening to me? I'm listening. Every word that you say, just open the tehillim and you got direct contact, connected. By tzaddikim, the story is different. There, the only way that it can really work and it can really, how do you say, have a tangible effect, is if the person believes that the koyach of the tefillah of the tzaddik is so strong, so powerful, so efficacious that is going to win the day, and therefore I'm asking the tzaddik to supplicate on my behalf, and I give him a pidyon, or I don't give him, whatever the case would be, I'm asking the tzaddik, please daven for me. There's a masa by the Koshenitz Maggid, famous masa, where two people came in, a peasant came in, and with his wife, and he hadn't had children for years and years, come into the Koshenitz Maggid, and they said, Rebbe, Dav hupen kinder. We haven't even been blessed after so many years with one single child. And he says to him, 52 goldene Rändler, 52 gold coins. Each gold coin there was a fortune. 52. Kaminian Ben. So he has to go home from there. So the peasant says to him, Rebbe, ich bin doch ein Uremann, I'm a Schnorrer. Where will I get 52 goldene Rändler? Ich weiß nicht, sieh. So he goes out to the street and he goes to borrow and comes back with 10 Rändler. In all sorts of different denominations of 10p, 5p, whatever it was, puts them on the table. Rebbe, kick, the ganze Tisch is filled with geld. The whole table is full of coins. And he looks at it and he says, Sinish, du kannst 52. You ain't meet the quota yet. And the wife says to the husband, and the husband to the wife, and confer. And then they say, Koshenitz Maggid, we'll manage without you. So do our Rebbein Shlolem, Leibestad helfen, we'll have a child without you. And they took all the money off the table, put it back in their pockets, and they walked out. And Koshenitz Maggid turns around to them and he says, Jetzt hast du gepoilt. Because now you really believe that the Rebbein Shlolem will help you, and you didn't put all your efforts into me. Therefore, now you're going to have a child. And Itaka had a year later child. Yaakov Avinu suspected here that Ruchel did not really have 100% betuchen in the koiches atfille of Yaakov Avinu. And he detected it in two words. Because when she spoke to him, she said to him, Vatayre Ruchel kelo yoldu le Yaakov, and she said to him, Huvuli bunim, give me children. Ve'im ayin, ma'isur nochi. So Yaakov Avinu says, what does it mean, v'im ayin? There must be some sort of a doubt in your mind. Why are you got a question of perhaps not? Perhaps not means that there's not 100% belief in the power of the koich of the tzaddik's tefillah. And then he says to her, v'yichav Yaakov Baruchel v'yoyme, hasachas elekim unoichi, the Rebbein Shlolem, you can daven like that. Ki atu shemaya tefillahs kol peh. But the Eibishter, you can daven, and you get to this, and people come together, and they daven, the tefillahs go up. Yon zin gehad, nishin zin gehad, a bessere tefillah, a schwacher tefillah. But when it comes to a tzaddik, if you haven't got conviction, 100%, that the tzaddik is going to poil, then it's a waste of time. Mel ashemuna mimeich pributen, the problem lies with you. And therefore he says to her, I haven't got this problem, because my father, Oshem, he davened, And he davened directly to the Rebbein Shlolem with his wife. So you're coming to me and you're asking me the Alzaminis Tzadikim, you've got the words Ve'im Ayin, and that doubt is put a spanner in the works, and therefore I can't help you. Shabbos.
Jobs. Very interesting, but the council unlocked it. Was there no incentive for they're able to pass. Means nothing to them.
Should we learn here or should we go upstairs? What's better? Love to. What? Okay. Can you go inside? Okay. Yes.